Lionel Johnson, because he's the reason why I came back to the hobby, was the lion sculpt, because I actually love that.
First true traitor.
Oh, fuck you!
Told you, I only do traitors, that's why I've got a Dark Angel on.
Hey!
I'm sorry, you like must be games. Old, because that came all the way back from 1996. Nice one, mate. Thank you.
Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40k goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live.
We are indeed live. Welcome, everyone, to In The Tank. James Spech.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you doing today?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Ready for action.
Yeah, so we have our very own James from March of War here today. I've known James for a few years now. I was introduced to him by a friend of mine, Sam Nash, who some of you may know from the competitive circuit, as he's been pushing people shit in for a few years now at the top tables. James has a 3D printing business, which he has been running for a number of years now.
Yeah, you've been doing it a while.
So many of you are watching have probably got something printed by James, even without realizing it. In fact, Russ messaged me before this very podcast and goes, oh shit, I've actually got something that James has printed. I think most of us do. So yeah, he does some amazing sculpts and some bits and bobs like terrain, bases, all kinds of stuff, don't you? So
yeah, man. Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
I'm doing it for years.
And casting as well. So going old school with resin casting and things. So
I got some of your resin bases, bro.
Appreciate the support.
Sisters of Battle, man. That was the turning point for the business. That was like I was tootling along doing very little odds and sods, and then that new Sisters box came out in like what 2019.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it went nuts. I literally had 3 months where I just didn't stop. It was just so much. Because I'd done those sanctuary bases, which are all fleur-de-lis and stuff.
That's literally what I have.
Yeah. So that was like my turning point of I've got some bits, I'm doing some stuff. And that was just everybody wanted them. They just kept flying out the door.
Yeah.
Proper.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Really small cool. world, isn't it? Yeah. So we're here today to mainly focus on 3D printing as a topic. So we'll be discussing many things 3D printing, but first we're going to dive into some of our usual topics. So we'll take it away, Russ. Go on.
I love how like you just passed the master of topics.
Well, here, you are the master of topics.
We have some 3D printing stuff today. We've got some cottage industry discussions and some resin discussions as well today.
Yep.
But before we do, I'd like to say like, comment, and subscribe because yes, I know, because I tried to get that in early. Thanks to you, dickhead, not reminded me about this.
I will say,
like,
guys,
share, subscribe.
Yeah, yes, I will say the only reason why he said this so early is because he's put it on the topic list, which is cheating.
It is on the topic list.
Yeah.
It's not really.
It is a little bit
not
cheating.
Reminding your co-host about this is wanky, so I'm going to like do this now.
I feel like it's
comment,
cheating.
Subscribe. Obviously follow March of War. Have you got Instagram?
I've got Instagram.
Online?
I'm like march.of.war on the Insta, and then it links to the Facebooks and all the rest of it from there. Yeah.
I'm glad you're confident of your own Instagram.
Oh, I'm so
Do you
so
know your website?
Marchofwar.co.uk.
There you go. That's how you can find it.
There you go.
That's the important one.
I got one.
Follow us at InTheTank40k on Instagram. Me, Camp Ruskin and Minis, edsdick.com, but also the Battle Barn as well. Follow the Battle Barn.
We're going to be going live on the 5th of April, guys, playing live Warhammer 40k.
So. Which, when this comes out, will be that Saturday. Do we actually have an estimated time for starting to stream?
Starting to stream is 7:30 PM UK time.
On the Saturday that this comes out.
On the 5th.
Brilliant. Oh, wow. There you go.
So
later tonight.
Fantastic. And obviously, get on the Discord. We've got a growing Discord thing. And thank you very much for our patrons.
Yes,
you guys
thank you,
are
guys.
The tits. Like, thank you very much. That's brilliant.
Legends.
So before we go anywhere, we've just got to very briefly do our two kind of like introductory topics. One is the news, and the other one is the classic GW lean of some what you're working on. But we'll do the news first. Oh my God, there was loads of reveals last night.
Wasn't
Holy
there,
shit.
Bit.
Wowzers. What do we think, gents, about some of those reveals?
It just kept coming, didn't it? There was just so much.
Loads.
And we've just started talking about them, and then you told me about other stuff that I'd missed. Yeah. It's like, I thought we'd already done well.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff.
Yeah, man.
Any particular highlights?
I am undecided on those Thousand Suns robots.
Yeah,
I like the old ones.
They're a bit weird, aren't they? I'm not sure about them either, to be honest with you. I like the concept of them. But,
yeah, but I like the concept because they were originally a thing anyway. Yeah. They had the Castellan style, what Castellax style ones.
Yeah,
and I like them. They're nice models. They feel very 30k AdMech, and it sort of seems weird to me that they've given them something new that wasn't 30k. It's like, where did they find them?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
warp construct.
Had them for 10,000 years. Oh, have you?
Yeah,
that was funny because nobody's seen them.
No one's seen them.
Very unusual. But
yes, they are. Yeah, new stuff. So cool.
Mm. Also, the corny guy's got their little 8-bound.
Oh yeah, they got an 8-bound character, didn't they? With the arm thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he was cool.
I can tell you the one thing that I didn't enjoy because I'm not a wolfy McWolfy furry and fuck the Space Wolves because they're the shittest chapter ever. Fight me. The new huge amounts of Space Wolves reveals. Fucking hell, there's loads of shit going on there.
They were ready, weren't they? They were desperate.
They were.
Like, for one of the most custom. The most customizable chapter that they originally were, and now they were just like. Yeah, what do? We paint them that bluey-grey colour and call them Space Wolves.
Yep.
Yeah, at least we've got some stuff for them now.
New baby carrier for the Grey Knights.
Baby carrier, that's
nice. I love the new baby character. Okay, character. Baby character, the baby carrier. But yes, no, very quickly on the Space Wolves. Wolfguard, Headtakers, McWolfie, Wolfie. Do you see that we have wolves?
You play Beastman. Wolfie,
Wolfie.
Pack
fuck
it
off.
In.
Beastman!
Yeah, I found out very briefly. Before this, that these two both love Beastmen, and I was saying,
love the Beastmen. I say so that angry I can imagine, that they took them out of AOS.
I can imagine James is like
AOS
a little goat shaman at the back going like,
me,
and like Russ just charging in as a Minotaur. It's just great.
Just treading on stuff. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I have got a saved amount of money undisclosed ready for that drop, ready to go mental and get 2,000 points.
For a full army.
So I'm
so
ready.
What did they actually release on new models for the Beastmen? What did
Nothing.
We get? What?
Well,
that was all right then. That makes me feel better because I didn't. I mean, we had a new character three months ago, but yeah, that was
to
it.
To be honest, it's pretty much the same as what they've always done.
It's the 1992 Beastmen box.
I think to be fair, they've combined what would be some of the AOS returning plastic minis for the lords and the shamans and stuff, right? And then you've got some resin special characters for this time period. Mm. That, to be fair, look really ace, including like a little one with like this little like little familiar guy that looks really cool.
Nice.
But yeah, no, dude, I'm gonna love smashing Minotaurs into the flanks of Bretonian fucking Lance.
I was gonna say I've got like 7,000-8,000 points of AOS Beastmen that have just been built up over the years. It's like, well, it was because it's that sort of weird. What's it? I used to play it semi-competitively, and it's like chariots are good. I need 12. Cool, got 12 chariots. Minotaurs are good. Cool, I've got 3 squads of 12.
Yep.
Cool. What's next? I need loads of Ungors. Cool, there's 100 Ungors. And so none of it was like I'm gonna go and buy 8,000 points. It was just I've got
you
a couple of boxes.
Up,
I've got this. I've got so.
So
and forever as well.
Are they all on circular bases then, lad?
They are, unfortunately, And even more annoyingly, quite a lot of it was actually on square bases before, and I put off putting it onto round bases for ages. So I actually took them off of round squares onto rounds, and now I'm going to have to take them off of rounds back onto squares.
Can you not just get converters and you just pop them
You
in?
Can, but I also make resin bases, so it's sort of daft for me not to just
that
go,
is very
look,
true.
Resin bases! Resin bases for days,
that's very
square
true,
ones,
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
Which, as we were saying earlier, it's like when I develop stuff, I'm like, I need this time to go make it.
Yeah.
So I need to rebase my entire Beastmen army. So I was like, oh, I guess I ought to make myself a load of square bases.
Lovely.
Yeah, let's
Look
make
at that.
Square. So it was just like bags and bags and bags of
Mate,
square
if,
bases.
If you want to just fling some Ed's way so I can steal them, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Don't feed his addiction to
Beastmen. Yes, feed it. My fellow Beastmen.
Just buy him some Space Wolves.
No, don't be a fan.
I'm just going to send you like one Space Wolf.
Yeah.
No, I use it as a corpse
Bait.
On one of my bases. also, we had Cathay, aka China, in the old world, or kind of like generic Asian continent. very cool. We've got like terracotta massive giants.
Those big terracotta statues are cool, aren't they? Yeah.
And like a lady that transforms into a massive dragon, Chinese dragon looking thing, and like lantern.
I'm quite excited about the new missions, new mission deck.
Oh yeah, true.
And they've got a new catch up mechanic where if you're 6 victory points behind, then you get like an option where you can either have a little secondary, well, like a not secondary that you can do to score some points, or you can get like a free strat where you can sort of move through walls for 0 CP with a unit, or you can do something else. Yeah, very cool. So,
what's the name of it? What's the name of this one?
I can't remember. I'll have to have a look.
Dirty cheating bastard.
I'll have a look.
Just make it up.
It's in the article. Here we go. Okay. It is probably. It does. It just says chapter approved. Don't know.
All right. Okay.
Cool. We'll find out. But yeah,
I bet it's Nachmund or
2025-26 mission deck.
That'd be interesting.
They haven't actually given us an exact date, so but that'd be cool.
And then there's a new Tyranid kill team as well, guys.
Yeah,
as well.
Nice. Like,
what do we get in that? Some Tyranid
and some
Tyranid. Aren't they like the Reavers or whatever? And some Admech in it as well, right?
Oh,
and
Ravenors. Do we get some Ravenors?
Yeah,
are they
like
doing
Ravenor
those?
Sort of
they're Ravenors. Sorry, yeah, they are Ravenors.
Yeah, yeah.
They look cool.
They do look cool.
They were about due. They've been a long time since we've had a beginner kit for them.
No, fair. I remember the old metal ones, for fuck's sake. Like Christ.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go, from third. But then you've also got some crazy ad mech-y stuff as well, Ed. Are you curious about that? Or?
Yeah, they look cool, yeah. I like servitors.
I see those. I miss
they're
that.
Like little servitor dudes and a couple of tech beastie
really
guys.
Cool.
So.
And some wicked Tyranid terrain as well. The terrain looks fucking sick.
Talking about Tyranid terrain, don't you make some Tyranid terrain?
I make Tyranid terrain. Yeah. I better not make better Tyranid terrain than me.
I need to get some of your spires, actually, James, because I want to get some just to jazz up a jungle table.
To Tyranidify a table.
Yeah. I'm not going to use them as actual, like, counts as terrain, but I just want to make them look cool.
So one of the things that I did when we were running them as events is you'd put 3 of the spires together and then they could count like a wood because you've kind of got like a spore chimney-esque sort of to give that minus one for shooting through it back in ninth. Yeah. I don't know what woods do now. Probably nothing.
We don't really have woods now.
They've got rid of them.
Yeah, we don't really have them. They were just like, just ruins. I said,
in the year 40,000,
there are only trees.
Fuck trees. Fuck them. So that's the news then, guys. So, all very exciting, and obviously, Beastmen are the best. Yeah. So, what are we working on, chaps, from our own hobby desks?
What am I starting on from my hobby desk? So, rebasing Beastmen. That personal hobby stuff. So, I'm rebasing Beastmen. I've just painted a massive dragon for D&D.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, you're go on. Give us a show. Give us a show.
Is that Tim at?
Is it Tim at?
That
is
beautiful.
So the multi-headed, that camera's not picking it up. It looks cloudy, but yeah, multi-head, one gold head, one blue head, one green head, one death head down that one, and then a yellowy, stony coloured one around there. Yeah, so but he is a massive model. He's like
he's
a chunk bigger than your head.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's quite cool. Let me put him out of the way.
How's your head? He's gone.
How long did that take you?
That's not a question to ask me because it upsets people when I tell them how long it takes me to paint shit.
Yeah, you're quick. I know you are.
I am really quick. So I sat down at 5 o'clock in the evening and it was in bare resin with gaps in the wings. I filled the wings, spray painted it, finished painting at 9:30.
Wow.
Fuck off. That would take me about a month to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's double-edged. Like, my family are all very arty, so like from that side, I've always painted and stuff. I started Warhammer when I was like 8 years old, just painting shit. I'm also quite lazy and hateful of spending ages painting, so everything I do with my painting is designed to make the things as easy as possible. I mean, some of the guys in my Discord community rage at me because, like, the other week we went to an event the last week of January and I'd got 8,000 points of Alpha Legion in bare plastic in my box. I was literally gluing the last ones together at this event and it's finished. It was on Winter's Channel a month ago. It was like, I literally did 8,000 points in like 8 weeks or something. It was,
when I get you over to the barn for a game, I'm just going to leave you locked in here for like
a
week.
Stuff for me.
So I'll just be like, I'll leave my Death Guard on the floor and like a tray of food.
Death Guard is so easy to paint. Like, I could do Death Guard in my. Like, Sam always winds me up because my 30k World Eaters have got a Death Guard-y hue because they're white and they've got the blue and then they're grunged down. He winds me up saying that they look like Death Guard, and they're not. They're my World Eaters, but I could paint Death Guard so quickly. Yeah. I could do 10,000 points of Death Guard in a couple of weeks, definitely.
Yeah.
this is sorcery.
It is witchcraft.
You've actually
made
like a dark pact with the Chaos Gods.
Yeah, 100%. And also, I have no loyalist armies.
I mean, to be fair, Russ, the blurry camera adds a lot to like the speculation of how good the model is. So like that's how you do it. You get away with it. You just sort of like don't let the focus quite catch it. And you're like, look, guys, how amazing this dragon is.
And leave this bright bit up here where it's just catching the light funny.
Just get the base colours on and be like, yeah, look at that. Whoop, it's gone.
That's very cool.
And it's that sort of like things that people are scared of. Yeah. Like, I mean, OSL with an airbrush. Yeah. Like, yes, people do amazing jobs of it. You can also do it fairly quickly and dirty and be like, that actually looks pretty good for saying I spent like 40 minutes doing an entire army's worth of OSL.
Nice.
So like pop colours, using like your colour theories and things as well, making sure you've got like this matches with that and then have your accent colour and do it all on the colour wheels. And colour theory makes a big thing. Yeah.
Get a colour wheel, people. It's the way forward.
Get a colour wheel. Honestly, it's like you want opposites. Yeah. So if you're doing two colours, directly opposite. If you're doing three colours, two are opposite.
Triadics.
And then pick your exactly, yeah. Pick
your spot colour. We know what fucking
you know
talking about.
Stuff.
I can do
a thing. It ain't no thing.
What have you been working on, Russ?
Mate, I am grinding my way through. I've just finished getting my Inner Circle companions to tabletop standard. I'm now doing a unit of scouts, ready to own your ass on stream next week. So
you can't beat
me
on my own stream for the first game I ever play. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, I can.
No, you can't.
We've got a score to settle anyway, mate.
Yeah, that's
true.
Three,
so it's all good.
True.
And I'm also eating my way through my Possessed for our big team event as well coming up. And I think I'm sick in the head because I really enjoy painting Chaos Space Marine trim. So having a great time on that.
Yeah,
that is a job that slows you down.
I'm a proper heretic, I think. I just I just like filling in the lines, you know? It's cool.
Dry brushing.
I love it. Just all you've got to do is have brush control, boys. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You have. But also, you know, if you do heresy, they don't have all that trim.
They
it's like Chaos Armies, Chaos Armies.
Well, again, with word bearers, you could kind of like do some kind of crazy.
You could put a bit more in.
I feel like James has actually stolen one of those like magic animator brushes where they just sort of go dirt, 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 and it just fills all the paint in on the army.
Like, talk to you, like, what are we painting today, lad? More beastmen, let's go.
I mean, my beastmen are a really grungy scheme, but they were ridiculously quickly painted. I did that was like early days of Spirit Wash, and I smashed out so many beastmen so quick for a tournament, and it was just like, yep, that'll do. I think it was worse because I was doing my 2K chariot list, and my mate was running a Saigor Doombull Minotaur list, so I ended up painting 4,000 points of my own literally in the week for two of us to run at the same event.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Just.
You're a lunatic. I don't know how you do this. You make me feel sick.
Speaking of making this feel sick, what are you working on, Ed?
I actually did do some hobby. Managed to sneak some in. It's only because when we've just been on holiday and we came back and we were a little bit jet lagged, so my son decided to get up at 5 in the bloody morning, and he actually quite, even though he's 2, he quite enjoys Warhammer already, which is a dangerous sign.
It's like chewing it.
No, he actually quite likes watching me build it and like getting involved.
Oh, cool.
I said to him, do you want to help daddy build something? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, cool, because I actually needed a second Doom Scythe for my Necrons list, because I'm running quite a fun little meme-y Necrons list. So we built my Doom Scythe, and then I spray painted it black, and we did the first layer of the gold on there for Doom Scythe. So I have actually done the start of that.
A model,
I know, right? So that's all I need for this test stream that we're running on Saturday. So that would be good fun.
There you go.
So I have actually done
something. Did you give your son better instructions than me when I came?
Yes, like, he actually did put the brush on the model because it was just the wings are so big on that. I actually trusted him with it. I was like, just go nuts. No, you can't really get this wrong. Just chuck a load of gold on there, you know, have fun.
Nice.
So he was enjoying it. And then the rest of the time, I've just been painting the barn. I had to repaint some walls and I varnished the table, which is good because that thing was glaring like a beast in the first test stream. It was just like white and everyone was like, we can't see because the table's just like, bah! So I've done that and that looks much better now. So good nice. Work. Get in there. Nice
one. Cool.
Almost ready.
Nice.
Right then. So first topic then, gentlemen. How long until the 3D printing world properly kicks off and goes mainstream? We're talking in the homes of like 9 out of 10 people.
Whoa,
right? And, and like, how long do we reckon it's going to be until that happens in like a mainstream world? Will it ever happen, arguably?
So, I think depends which side of it you're talking about.
Right.
Because so you've got filament printers, which are for making doodads, widgets and terrain. And I actually think they're getting pretty bloody close to just viable now. Like I've always said, if you're into gadgetry, if you're into doing something, if you're someone who will buy a thing and want to fiddle with it, printing's for you. Definitely. If you want a modern paper printer that you stick paper in it and shit comes out, then 3D printing isn't for you. You need to be like a 1990s printer where you're like, you have to set the tension right and get the things and get it feeding properly and all of that kind of crap. Get the you've got to be willing to faff with them.
Yeah.
However, like the new filament printers are a little bit nuts. So I've just bought, I mean, it's not entry level, but it's 500 quid. And it prints three times as fast as my one that's only 3 years old.
Whoa, fucking hell.
And, I mean, I've got that, which is a grenade for airsoft, but there is not a line on it. And this was the second thing I printed on this printer, and I had zero input. I literally went, turn it on, calibrate, came back 15 minutes later and went, turn it off, memory card out. Go into the software, put the thing in the software, and went auto, green, go. And it went, okay, off we go. Then put me back in the machine, stuck it in the machine. And I mean, literally, I mean, I've printed things with threads and stuff before, and normally you're like, you have to tap and dye them. This printed, threaded, straight out of the box.
That's madness.
That literally just goes on, and it's just perfect. And I also printed this in TPU, which TPU is a bastard to print with. It's flexible filament. So this is solid. This is this is TPU.
What the fuck?
And it literally...
Amazing. Can't break it.
There you go.
I mean, I probably could.
But not easily.
But like, I've folded it double back on itself, and it just goes bloop. There you go.
Incredible.
Back to where it was.
Sorry, the way that you would display that was like some sort of like shopping channel where you're like, look at it.
Yeah.
You can tap it.
You
can
can't.
Bend
it's
it.
Nuts. Bro, I'm genuinely shocked. This new printer, I am actually shocked how good it is and
only
how easy it is.
$12.99.
Yeah, only 500 and something quid.
Yeah,
but when you look how much you'd spend on a terrain set, you know, if you were going to buy a nice terrain set that's some big, I mean, it's 300 by 300 by 300 you can print in one bed. And, I mean, you very quickly, single big buildings might cost you 70, 80 quid a building. And the rolls of filament are a tenner. And you'll print half a dozen buildings for a tenner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, you've got a 500 and some pound printer, but it's fucking rapid.
Yeah.
That is getting towards, like, it only needs to get down the market a little bit. If it was 300, 400 quid, I'd be like, do you know what? I know a lot of people that just go, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, 5, 6, you're like, oh, it's still a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Am I going to get my... But again, if you're between a few of you bought one and you could print your terrain, definitely.
Sure.
Now, resin printers, printing your models, your armies, whatever, they're a pain in the arse. They're still a pain in the arse. They're great. They're loads better than they were 10 years ago. They're messy. They're smelly. They're sticky. Mm. You need to do cleanup. You need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to support shit. Yes, auto supports are getting better. Yes, resins aren't as toxic as they were, maybe, unless they just tell you it isn't and you're all going to get cancer in 20 years and they won't care. You get water washable resins, so you don't need isopropyl in the house. You don't need all that sort of stuff. But then what do you do with all the water that you, like, there was a guy who, I'm not going to name him because he will definitely get in trouble. He was literally water washing his resins and tipping it down the toilet. It's like microplastics and toxins, yeah, and everybody's going to die. But like, this is one random dude who's being a bit of an idiot. If everybody's doing that, we're fucked. We're all going to die of horrific cancers of
the
everything.
I was going to ask you, how much of your body do you think, percentage-wise, is resin at this point? Because you've been printing it like...
I have. I'm always very careful. I run. I've got extractors in my workshop.
Yeah.
I wear proper respirators. Protection.
You need to.
Protection. You got to wear your protection, mate.
Yeah,
definitely
you do.
Wear
full body condom at this point.
Yeah, case, totally. I but I mean...
Shuffling around in it.
It's one of the things I always compare it to is... Like, the people say the resins aren't that bad. They're not that nasty. When I was 20 years ago, they said Roundup weed killer wasn't that bad. It's so safe you can drink it. And now they've removed it from shelves because it's so cancerous it's going to kill everybody. 20 years apart, like, I mean, smoking forever ago. Everyone used to smoke because it doesn't do you any harm. Like, at some point, they're going to go, you know all that resin you guys were printing? Yeah, it's you're fucked, mate.
Yeah,
yeah, that's why. That's what
vaping,
that thing
you
that you've got a mouth growing out. You're stuck. Mm-hmm.
It's like, beast man!
Yeah.
Beast man!
Yeah. But I mean, like, stupid things that you can print. I mean, I've featured on Winters not long ago with my militia army,
yeah,
which is just all the guardsmen. So many guards. It makes 40. Like, I was talking to Sam, and Sam was like, oh, this guy brought a guard army to a thing, and it was like 120 models. It's like, 120 guardsmen? And he's like, I know, it's nuts. And it was like, have you seen my militia army? Militia are 2 points a model in a game that is usually standard of 3,000 points. And so you can get them in squads of 50 for 100 points.
Oh, my God.
And you take 3 of them as a single troop slot.
Wow.
So you could take 150 guardsmen for 300 points, one troop slot. But I was doing a Gorgon heavy transport, you know, the cool big old Forge World. Like landing
craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put together.
Oh, wow.
These
are cool.
So, and I literally, they're just somebody else's models. They're not my sculpts, but I literally put them together. So they're glued, they're literally printed in one piece.
That's cool.
And the idea is that they stand in my Gorgon heavy transport.
That's so cool.
And I can paint. So I paint
that's
them
great.
In rows of 8, and they drop in my Gorgon, and it holds a whole squad.
Wow,
we're
like D-Dayville here,
that's
man.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
But it was like, I mean, what's that, 8, 16, 24, 32? There is literally, for just shy, there's 48 guardsmen there. It's like, I'm painting 48 guardsmen for no reason other than to put them in a tank.
That takes you about 3 minutes, knowing you, probably.
That's 20 minutes, yeah,
it's
be
good.
Fine.
It's fine.
Done.
Be fine.
Done.
Yeah, bit brown.
But yeah, bit yeah. No brown.
No.
Weather them.
Wow. Just weather them out of the box.
Streaking grime. Streaking grime.
Just streaking grime straight onto the
streaking
resin.
Grime. I love
streaking
a bit of
grime all the way.
Grime. I love a bit of streaking grime.
Love though. The streaking
it's
grime.
It's way forward. Way forward.
I've not got into streaking grime yet, but I feel like I need to.
You'll have
like,
your phase and then that'll
will.
Be it forever. You'll be on streaking grime for like 10 years.
I feel like once
I did I did Agrax in like 2010, started painting with Agrax. It's like, this is amazing. It's witchcraft. You just put some model on, just chuck some Agrax on it, and it goes and looks good. And you're like, this is amazing. It auto splits. It doesn't coffee state. Like when you think the inks we had, the additions before, those early
God.
Heavy inks. I mean, there was a chestnut wash that I used to love.
I was
going to
say chestnut ink.
Chestnut wash was so good, but you put it on and the whole
terrible,
model's brown.
Terrible. No, fuck that.
It like, wasn't terrible. You had
no,
to
it
use
was.
It right.
No, it was. If you were to use that, if you were to like get some sort
I've
of time
some,
warp and use it
I
today,
kid you not, I've got bottles of it still
shit.
Here and they're still runny.
That shit's trash. Like don't get me wrong, at the time, we were all like, and on every single white dwarf thing, we were like, use a bit of chestnut ink.
Chestnut
use a bit of chestnut. And nowadays, that shit is trash, man, compared to a bit of Agrax or AK. But
I mean, new Agrax. Everyone was slagging off the new Agrax, aren't they?
Like
they don't.
I don't
yeah.
like it. I
don't like the
shit.
New Agrax.
Shit. I was talking to Peachy about that, and he's he gave
I got
me a
through
solution.
Agrax at a rate of knots for I would literally be going through a bottle every time I was paid, like bottles of Agrax. Right. And now I haven't touched it for 5 years. I literally have got a bottle that I've
had 5 years back.
Does that mean you have a surplus of Agrax?
I've got a couple of bottles of it. You aren't having them.
I'm going to have to send some sort of beast.
Send the team round. I can't remember. Is it Snakebite Leather? The original old in the hexagon pots.
Yeah.
There was something for non-metallic metals.
Right.
And they were selling for £100 a
what?
Pot.
What?
Yeah, literally. And I've got 6 or 8 of this colour because I used to rim my bases with it back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Like a bit of rimming, do you?
Does that mean you're a fucking brown rimmer? Get out!
I'm a brown rimmer.
No, well, no, get I'm a black... out!
Depends what I'm doing. Depends what I'm doing.
Mm.
Goblin green for Old World.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Brown.
I do rim certain bases in brown.
Yeah.
But mainly black or very, very, very dark grey.
I'm having to resist black. A lot of euphemisms this podcast. Chestnuts, all kinds of stuff.
Going that way.
Hard word today.
Yeah, magic chestnut, snake bite leather.
Did you not know about the chestnut ink, Ed?
No, I did know.
He's not old enough to know about chestnut
ink. I'm the same age as you. Oh, well, I'm the same age as Russ.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
Oh, you're all babies.
Oh, shut up. I was in the hobby when I was like 8.
I feel better. Come on, keep going here. Yeah. I'm good. You're be nice.
You're 40. You're 40, yeah?
I'm 43,
43,
mate.
43? You fucking old bastard.
I know, wow. Right? Fuck it, I was painting Warhammer when you were still a glint in your fucking dad's eye. It's...
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, just about. I literally started at 8, so I was probably painting Warhammer before you were even conceived.
James comes out, and then she's like, hang on, something else is coming, and there's a fucking first 3D printer.
God, that's a fucking mental image and a half, mate. Christ almighty, wow. This is a surreal part of the episode today.
I told you we'd go off tangents.
Fuck me. So we, in terms of time...
So we were talking 3D printers and are they going to be in every house?
So in terms of timeline, how would you reckon? A couple of years? 5 years?
So even over this last couple of years, the filaments, they've got to the point that they're almost idiot-proof and are now fairly safe. They come with extractors in them. They come with carbon filters in them, all that kind of garbage. They just need to drop a little bit in price, which now that design is out there, there's already like the one that everybody wants, there's now 3 duplicates of it, which means if there's 3 duplicates of it that are £50 cheaper, that one's £100 cheaper, now these drop their price, they make theirs £100 cheaper, they'll be down, they'll be affordable in the next couple of years. And then resin printers, it's still, it's trying to work out how do you make it, you don't have to faff with it.
I think the problem that you're probably going to have with resin printers is as like you get more and more green policies become a thing, right?
I think it's just going to
get annihilated. I think it's just going to be like, nah. Like
non-recyclable.
Nah,
also, resin's a bit more brittle. So like talking about the whole people using it in their homes for things, I can see using...
A use for a filament.
Yeah, for filaments, like, you could see people being like, oh, I need to print, I don't know, a fucking...
Coat hooks or something stupid.
Useful for their home, like a little part for something that's broken
in
their fridge or something, I don't know. Whereas you can't really do that with resin in the same way reliably. It's not going to be as strong, right?
It has different properties, that's the thing. And the same with the filaments. I mean, there are different filaments, like that TPU is really flexible, the PLA's not, and it's cheap. You can get ABS ones, but they stink like death and they're pretty strong. Same with the resins, you can get flexible resins. I would say if you're used to Warhammer in the last 15-20 years, you'd have no problem dealing with the properties of the resin. But if you're new to it, you'd be like, this is horrible, I hate gluing it with super glue. You touch them and the guns snap off. I've snapped all the guns off all my guardsmen. If you used to fine cast and it's normal, isn't it? It's that's just gluing metal together and
fail cast edgy opinion.
I have a very difficult opinion because I hate building Games Workshop kits. They're so good and there's so many millions of pieces and I hate it so much. Just give me a guardsman that's made of 6 bits and I can glue it together.
We talked about this before.
Don't need a 125 piece kit to build 5 guardsmen.
We have talked about this before with the sort of recent kits where they have been getting quite complex in terms of
and a beautiful model faces separate from fringes with bits and an ear. Just glue the one ear on.
I don't get it.
No, just give me a fucking head.
Yeah.
I want a head, a body, some arms on sockets. Yeah. That'll do. Mm-hmm. Shoulder pads separate. That's cool. I can do that. I don't need shoulder pads in 2 pieces so that your circles are perfectly spherical. Just no.
And they're also harder to modify when you want to do things like changing a shoulder pad. Like I've been doing some Death Watch bits recently, and one of the ones that I wanted to do was, you know, that really cool Lieutenant, the one that's like a lone op, the Space Marine one that came in the Leviathan box.
But you see, the characters are worse than the normal guys because they're so modular posed. Like, you've got arms that are part of an arm with a thing and a gun through it.
Trying to chop his shoulder pad off. I've done it now. It's fine. But, like, trying to do that, I had to, like, cut away so much stuff and be really careful about how I did it.
Was that the Tyranid-y one?
Yeah, but the Tyranid arm is the opposite one, so that's fine. Kept that bit because that looks cool. But the normal shoulder pad, I had to chop that away and replace it with the Death Watch one. And because it was in, like, two pieces and all, like, built into his sort of shoulder area, it's just really hard to do. They've made it as hard as possible.
I do modular shoulder pad decals to go on that are 3D printed.
Yeah, you see, that's cool.
So they're pre-curved, wafer thin, all the different legions. I do Inquisition shaped ones and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And you just, they literally just push on. They're dead easy. Little bit super glue, straight on, go on to standard. Because for ages, a lot of the Primera stuff was all easy build, monopose, can't fuck with it, can't take the shoulder pads off.
Yep.
So it was like, I need a way of making these into Imperial Fists. Yeah. So I get bits of commission work and stuff. It's like people want step further. So it's just like, print a load off, stick them on. I sell 40 of them for a tenner, and it's like, actually, how many? You've done 40 Marines for a tenner. That's cheap enough.
That's not bad.
That's a lot cheaper than buying the shoulder pads from GW, where you get like two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Two Terminator shoulder pads. And
one
then,
of
like,
them that you don't want.
Yeah. And then 10 normal ones for Primaris that are on the wrong fucking side half the time. Never got that.
But anyway. So that's the other one, is like unit markings. Because so like for Heresy and for 40K, they have different unit markings. Mm-hmm. And so I've got like your tactical, your fast attack, your devastator, all that sort of stuff. Apothecary ones, tech marine ones. I do all that sort of crap as well. I've gone through and done numbers because I had a guy who wanted to be able to count all of his squads up. So this is the third squad of the this in the that company. So there's little circles with Roman numerals on them and things. And yeah,
I guess the sky's the limit. You can, you just can make anything, right? Whatever you need.
I mean, this
is
the thing. Like I say, it all comes about. Most of the stuff is either stuff that somebody specifically asked me for, but usually the things that happen quickest are the things I want. Mm. I need this because I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Or I want that because I'm going to do the... Or I need some better buildings because the GW have cancelled those ones and they're now stupid money and I'm not paying stupid money for out-of-date products.
They've done a lot.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, exactly.
They're all over their place, like, with their bloody terrain these days. It's so annoying. I wish they'd just release sets.
They make some beautiful stuff they don't make enough of it to actually do anything with. Like, you can't... I like big buildings. I like big. You know, remember the Sector Sanctorus? Yeah.
Beautiful Sector Sanctorus stuff.
But then they did so many different ones at that same era, and none of them fit together interchangeably, and none of them look right on the table together. And if you've built something big with all your Sector Sanctorus, you now haven't got enough to do a table full unless you've freaking remortgaged your house for it.
And people are selling them on eBay for like $2,000, and it's fucking ridiculous. And then they bring them out, like, you finally save up, buy them on eBay, and they're like, oh, we're redoing them as a line.
Exactly. No.
Ah, well.
There you go.
I was going to say, I do think we will see probably filament printers answering your question because we probably sort of didn't really actually get around to answering. I do feel like we're going to see those filament printers entering households soon. I do think in the next 5 years, maybe. I would guess.
Yeah, especially if you only want it, if you want it specifically for Warhammer.
Yeah.
Then you need a big enough one to be able to print some decent sized bits of tree. But actually, just as a widget, a gadget, a thing in your house, the small ones are really small now. And I think it's going to get to the point where you see them in like the men's gadget shop thing. They'll be like, buy this little 3D printer for $79.99 and it does a thing.
Or like tool shops,
and here's some free
something.
Files. And exactly.
It'll be a mankind purchase.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mankind,
AKA the Father's Day shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Red 5.
No, sorry, you ruined my wet blend, Ed.
No,
I was going to be like, speaking of bad GW practices, because we were talking about how they would shit at getting rid of their previous products and stuff like that. Now, this, I was curious to your opinion on this, James, just in case you ever had any hassle with this, because I'm curious.
Probably.
are G-dubs too sensitive with their IPs, especially... And this is the point of contention, considering their own settings' core unoriginality across both of their settings, right?
Yeah, that's been the eternal conflict, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The whole, I mean, within, yes, no, maybe, kind of. Depends which bits you're talking about. So I think that going forward, the main value of that business is in its IP.
Sure.
Like production, it's going down. They're going to struggle. They're going to more and more and more are going to struggle and struggle because the prices of everything are going up, and it will reach that terminal point where it's like, it's not viable anymore. Like, who's going to buy boxes of Space Marines for 60, 70 quid?
Yeah.
I mean, the new Combat Patrol for Space Marines, it's 13 models. It's one rubbish. Of them's a fucking terrible. Teleport homer, and it's £100.
Yeah, but that's a bad deal, Combat Patrol.
That is
anyway.
A bad deal, but whoever's making those calls is doing it intentionally to make them bad deals.
Yeah, true.
Like, you look at so many of those boxes. I mean, I think the Chaos Demons is the prime example. You look 8th into 9th, the Chaos Demons start collecting boxes. All four of them were all really good. Because you got a character that you didn't really want, but he didn't make the box expensive. Because you want one, you don't want four. You get 10 of your basic troops, 10 of your elite, or a squad of your elite, whatever it is, juggernauts or flies or something. You get a dude with a flag or what's, and you were like, they were 40 quid. They, retail might have been 50, but like they were. You could, I mean, not that long ago, they were £38 in little shops that were 20% discount.
Yeah.
And they were like, cool, I'll have six.
Yeah.
Because it was worth buying six, because 60 generic demons, a lot of now the elite cavalry sort of one, awesome. A couple of the character that you want, go on then, cool. Even the generic Herald is useful. It's only when they got like the sloppity bile piper equivalents and the very specific named I can only have one of you thing. But they were brilliant. And they sold for days.
Everybody did.
I mean, I remember just going down, like, I have another one of them. Yep, 40 quid, cool. That's something to play with. I'll have that and just add it to my army. There's not many of them now that you look at and go, maybe you need three. Every now and then you look at a box and go, yeah, three of that would be a nice core for a start of your army. But actually, a lot of them are one.
Yeah.
They are single-use boxes.
Yep. I think the only two that we could see were like the Grey Knight one and the Trakari one were like obvious, like two
I
or
think
three.
The Custodes one's not bad, but you get Trajan, which fucks it. But like, also, it works well in small ranges, which I think is why the Demons used to work well, because they didn't have a lot per flavour. Yeah. Which is why Drakari works well, because you want a lot of the very specific couple of things they're selling you. Same with Grey Knight, small range.
Yep.
You get what you're given. It's all there is anyway.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But if you start trying to do it with orcs, I mean, God, I mean, you could do with four for orcs, couldn't you? You could do with a Beast Snaggers one. You could do with a mechie one. You could do with a commando-y one. You could do with a generic one.
Yep.
Like, for it to be like, I'm going to make an orc army, let's buy 10 Stark Collectings. Mm. It doesn't work for the ones where you want, oh, I want 10 of this orc and 10 of that orc and 15 of those and a few. It's like,
I think
so. It's trying to encourage you to buy those £55 boxes of generic shit, the next level up stuff, the killer cans are horrendous money now. I was like, I went to get some the other day. I was like, can't believe that. Are they 55 quid for three? Something like that. It's like, no.
I don't know about you guys, but I find now, I know that obviously everything's more expensive just generally, and money tends to be a bit more tight these days. But like, I find that gone are the days that I walk into my local hobby store or a Games Workshop store, and I walk around the store and I go, oh, that's cool. I'll just grab that. And I'll walk out with a box of start collecting box or anything. Because I used to do that a fair amount. And I'd be like, oh, I could do with a box of this. And I'd walk out with it. Now I walk in and I would go, fucking hell. And then I go back out.
Can I remortgage?
Yeah, exactly. I go back out and I'm actually thinking I should probably sell some fucking Warhammer. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, it's
100%.
That's sobering, isn't it?
It is.
Sobering.
I mean, like, when you start looking not that long ago, like the nice big box, like that Sisters box, that Sisters box when it came out for the release of Sisters was 100 quid.
Yeah.
And that was like 30 models.
Yeah.
And it was new stuff and it was cool. Now, 100 quid box is fuck all. You don't get anything in a 100 quid box. Like, all of the greater demons are 100 quid. In my mind, they're £65.
Yeah.
And all of the greater demons are 100 quid.
Big knights are 100 quid.
In my head,
now.
A big knight ought to be 100 quid. And they're not, though. They're 130.
What?
Like, yeah, no, they're nuts. The shit little knights are 100 quid. The big knights are 130.
Oh, you mean the Castellans and stuff?
The bigger ones.
Yeah.
And
the Forge World.
What
ones.
I call Forge World knights
that
aren't Forge World anymore. Yeah, but yeah. And like,
Questorus used to be like, most of the time you could get them for about 75 quid, but they're like a hundo
65,
now.
70, that area, find them on a good day, you're all right.
75, 85,
like,
it's
just
nuts.
With regard to their IP, like, it is very stolen. but what isn't? Like,
true.
What's not an original idea? But there's a lot of, I think one of the prime ones that really, really always used to get me was Dune. I was massive into Dune when I was a kid. I really liked that. And I used to have the audiobooks of it. And if you listen to them, you're like, oh my God, this is Warhammer. Not even a little bit. You know, everything. They have lumen globes in the caves. There's just so much of the general world at large is straight out of Dune, which was, I mean, God, was written in like 1968 or something. It's ancient. And yes, all right, there's other connections, but so much of the technology side of things came straight out of Dune, and not in a bad way, but, and then fantasy, I mean, Middle Earth inspirations and that sort of things, but then they've been connected for a long time. And back in the day, they were connected to D&D and things. So,
yeah, have you ever got into, like, are you quite sensitive to them potentially being quite snippy with that IP in terms of, like, shoulder pads?
They're very controlling. Like, they don't,
have you ever had any issues with that? Like, are you ever scared that one day they'll, like, get the ban hammer on you and be like, you can't now sell our fucking, like, shoulder pads? Like,
so, I mean, in theory, you can't. Like, there's so much of their stuff, their IP is controlled. But basically, don't take the piss with it. Don't use the direct words. Don't say. The one thing they actually have more of an issue with, as far as I've come to, is they hate you putting any connecting words to Warhammer, Games Workshop, that sort of thing. Space Marines, the problem is, like, if you think, I think the best analogy for it is cars. Like, you can buy a Vauxhall Astra's aftermarket alternator. Well, they can't call it something different because it's an alternator for a Vauxhall Astra, but they can't call it a Vauxhall Astra alternator. It's an alternator for a Vauxhall Astra. Yeah, okay, and so they're not saying, this is one of your things.
Yeah.
They really, the only times I've had real dealings with their legal was through some of my naivety when I first started, was putting Warhammer in tags of names to get things to places. And it's like, it's not Warhammer. Compatible with Warhammer, for use with Warhammer, fits Warhammer Space Marines, fits Legion Astartes, works with this brand, March of War, producer, March of War, made by March of War, like, very much not Warhammer. Like, no, they don't. They really, 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 really do not like that.
It's their, like, key word specific things as well, because obviously, like, they're starting to obviously create their own IP tag words that they can then obviously trademark.
Sure.
Like, Drakari. Eldari.
When they went through and had the cull, they got rid of Eldar, they got rid of all that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, whether Adeptus Sororitas or whatever, right?
We always said, how are you supposed to trademark Imperial Guard? I mean, you stole it from Star Wars. It's
Exactly. So, like, by creating these, like, or like the Lumineth or whatever instead of elves or whatever, or orcs or whatever instead of, like, orcs, then all of a sudden you have all of these trademarked terms that you can, then, like, restrain a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about this, Ed? Have you encountered anything?
In the far future, there is only copyright strikes.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's a difficult one. I've seen this a lot because I do search about for various sort of bits and bobs, you know, third party bits. And
third party's been around for ages.
Yeah, and so I do see where you're coming from, James, because it is always sort of Warhammer agnostic stuff, isn't it? You know, you can't link yourself directly with it. It's always, you know, you're sort of trying to make a fancy name for it. You know, you're sort of like saying
Space Vikings. Yeah, Space Vikings are the Space Wolves. Yeah, you know what I mean, all my stuff that is upgrade bits for Space Wolves is the Space Vikings.
Like Pain Elves or, you know,
Pain Elves is good. My favorite is Gloomy Angels.
Gloomy Angels.
Gloomy Angels.
Yeah, so stuff like that. But I do think, obviously, there are ways around it. And I think clearly, if they're not bothered by that, that's great, because I think it's nice that you're able to create these bits and not have them.
I don't know how not bothered they'll be going forwards. I think the bigger they get, I mean, I think things like their connections with Amazon and stuff like that.
Do you think that might come
strain
down
on them too? It brings big, I mean, they already had loads of clout, you know what I mean? They're big, but Amazon's immense.
Sure.
And if Amazon have financially vested in their IP or whoever they go with, because, I mean, traditionally, I mean, like the games, I've always thought they've been weird with their games because they're dead strict about their IP. And then they just used to dole out contracts for games to nobody companies. Yeah. and end up with shit games connected to their IP.
Yeah.
And it was always a bit, why did they do that? And then, I mean, Space Marine, new Space Marine game.
Yeah.
Big game, looks beautiful. It's fucking boring, but I find it such a vanilla game. It looks great. It plays fine.
I only managed
30, 40 hours out of it for an 80-90 quid game. Like, it was a little bit flat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. I just want a new Dawn of War 1. That's all I'm after.
So you get like loads of comments being like, fuck off, the game's brilliant, like that.
But no one's really playing. I don't think I know very many people who are still playing it.
No.
Personally.
And I don't know many people who played it a lot. That's the thing. I mean, I think the one that really was it before it was Helldivers, because Helldivers was massive. That, I mean, we got 200 hours out of that for a 30 quid game. That's good value for money.
Yeah, that was very
90 quid game, 30 hours was like, oh man, I bought it.
Yeah.
I'm bored now. Should we go play Helldivers? Go on then.
Yeah.
And I think they've announced their next Space Marine game as well, haven't they?
They have. Yeah.
Yeah, number 3.
Yeah, so another one already.
So I mean, I think going back to it, I think you probably looking at it like going forwards, one of the things I could see them getting a bit shitty with is symbology. Like, because I think they've been like this with transfers before, transfer sheets and things like that.
Yeah, where
I think
they've had. About transfers.
Yeah. You know, things like shoulder pads, having the actual Imperial fist icon or, you know, Ultramarine icon.
So the one that's is the two headed Aquila thing. Mm-hmm. That's one that they've actually got trademarked and are really funny about.
There you go then.
But it's meant to have one eye open, one eye closed.
Oh, so you can just put them both open. And
both mine are open, mate. Put some green stuff in that eye.
Yeah, yeah. Emperor's waking up.
it's difficult, isn't it? So like the IP with the wordings and stuff, I completely get. Like they don't want you shouting out that this is their stuff. I get that. Kind of difficult to trademark a cup with some blood drops above it.
Yeah.
Kind of difficult to trademark a fist. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's all their iconography, so I'm not going to say they're not going to.
Yeah. Just a way to say.
I mean, one of the things that got shut down, there was a site that used to do SVG pictures of all their decals, and that all got shut down and taken down, and that was literally just SVG free SVG files of all of their decals, which meant you could put them on and print your own decals and stuff. And that all got took down.
I guess they may get a little bit more sensitive as time goes on with the whole 3D printing revolution thing. Because at the moment, the status quo is like, at the end of the day, even if you want to buy third-party components, like spare heads or shoulder pads, at the end of the day, you still got to buy your core kit first, unless you obviously 3D print that, right? To obviously modify that kit. So at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you still have to, in theory, buy the original kit, right?
You do,
But obviously, as time goes on or through other sources, you may not necessarily need that, and obviously you're going to be way more spoiled for choice.
Definitely.
Obviously, with some options that we may talk about later in the rise of our favourite hobby companies, are sometimes better than G-dubs, like sculpts and stuff, right? So, you know, you're going to be in this awkward situation, I guess.
So, I mean, for a long time, GW, they always used to instigate like a percentage proportion for conversions and things.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, back in the day, it was mega. It was just like, do what you want. We don't really care. And then bit by bit, it kind of got a little bit more like, as things like Cromlech and Victoria Miniatures and the big boys at Artel, I mean, all that sort of stuff.
Artel. Oh, their new Lorca. Oh, like, so good. Yep. Oh, that's so bad.
Are you word bearery as well, do I take it then?
Yeah, I am.
I've got a massive word bearer army.
See, I knew you were right with the Beastman. I knew you were all right. Yeah. It's fine.
He's having a bit of a bromance, aren't you? Beastman, word bearers.
I'm going to sit over here.
Yeah.
interesting. I mean, goddamn, dude.
Like, but yeah, I think so. Like with this percentage thing, they used to say like, as long as it's a standard standard G-dub kit, and then you've got bits on it, or you've got green stuff on it, and you've got heads on it and things, and it's. Yes, they were fine. And bit by bit, it's got less and less and less. And they've got more and more of a problem with different bits.
And now they're like at an official GW event. You're not allowed anything like a third party on your models at all. Without them getting
but that's
funny.
Only at their events. And also, it's if you're a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I take bits of my stuff to Warhammer World. And I don't take full printed models. But like my Alpha Legion are plastic kit. 100% real army. Different guns, upgraded shoulder pads, things, different flags.
They're never going to know, are they?
Well, they'd have to really spend some time looking. And I get a lot of love from the staff. They like it. Yeah. They're into the hobby. They get it. Yeah. And I don't walk around going, look at my 3D printed stuff! Like, fucking handing out business cards and shit. Yeah. But, well, there was a guy there. We went to an event a couple of years ago.
He did one of those card fully... guns and just go...
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
spraying, baby.
Spraying, like, heads and fucking shoulder pads. Boom, like going into like main hall.
We were at an event a couple of years ago, a few years ago now, and the guy had got a fully printed orc army.
Oh,
and it wasn't even just like direct copies. It was completely fucking different. And it looked cool. And the first game went by and nobody said a fucking thing. And he spent the entire break bragging about how this army had cost him two bottles of resin. It was like 25 quid's worth of resin to print a 2,000 point army, and look how great it looks. G-dub of pricks. I don't know why I'd bother. And he was being a dick, and they asked him to leave. Take your models and get the fuck out.
No shit.
Oh, who knew you'd come to the fucking home of Warhammer? Call them pricks. Show them your fake stuff. Wave your knob around, and then, just don't be a twat.
Yeah, no, I can say.
Yeah.
What I do, and you'll remember this, is like old man hobby as well, right? Is like, and obviously how they've changed the goalpost. That's all right, mate. You carry on. You call us like fetuses, so whatever, mate. It's fair game when you call us fucking specs. So like back in the day, in White Dwarf, they would like show you how to build shampoo tanks, right?
Yeah, totally.
In order to build this crazy Imperial Grav tank, use head and shoulders and like trim it off and stuff.
Trim them off, like also like the Bane, the like cardboard Bane blade.
Cardboard Bane blade.
It was literally
example.
Multiple pages, glue it onto cereal boxes. It had
very
the fold
Tracy
tabs.
Island. Very
yeah,
Tracy
yeah, very
Island,
much.
If anyone gets that reference. But
totally.
I do feel like they've lost something over the years of that.
I'm friends with quite a few of the old school sort of staff. I've got quite a little circle of XGW like the old boys, and that's one of the things that they all say. It's like it really lacks the love.
Heart.
It really lacks the
hobby.
It's
all about the dollar now, mate. It's that.
It's having shareholders. They need to make more money for their shareholders. That's all it is. Unfortunately,
I think one of the prime examples of it is Trench Crusade.
Yeah, man.
Trench Crusade, man. Like, that's all old G-Dub staff doing their thing, making a game that's brilliant, and it fucking plays so well, and it's beautiful, and they've got everybody on board with it, and it's great, and the models are cool, and it's... I don't want to say it's free, because it isn't. You still got to buy the files and things, but, like, comparatively, if you wanted to go nuts with it, you could go nuts, and you've spent a couple hundred quid rather than thousands.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to jump in, because this is a prime wet blend. I'm going to get it in now when I can, like, in terms of getting into our next topic, right? Unrelated to Trench Crusade and other independent companies making independent models and stuff like that, what is our favourite independent hobby companies? Why are they so prevalent now? There you go, see. And what are some of our favourites, right? And why are they so prevalent now? Like, why is it a thing now that you have all of these third-party places? Obviously, apart from March of War, of course. Like, hello
You've
there,
all got
hello
to go
there,
to,
hello
yeah.
there. Why are they a thing? What are some of our favourites? Why are they a thing, James? Why do you exist?
It's viable and affordable for people. Like, for businesses, I mean, I think everything. With my first 3D printer that I bought commercially cost me $7,500.
Fuck.
And one of my more recent resin printers that is better than it cost me £400. It's like... it's viable, which makes small scale sculptors have always been out there. There's loads of little companies making little things, but
printers weren't.
That was the thing. You know what I mean? There was a lot of green stuff sculptors, which are fucking brilliant, but different.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, being able to print masters en masse, I mean, shit, you're up there with the big guys for hundreds of pounds rather than tens of thousands. You mean you're not hitting G-Dub production levels. But as a small scale producer, it's viable. Yeah. You can prototype stuff in your house. You can print out what you've just made. You can sit in Blender or ZBrush or whatever you use for your sculpting. You can make some of it, even if it looks like ass, but you can print it. You know what I mean? And the availability of files, like being able to get bits and mod stuff, like so good. Mm. And I think with that push, some of them have embraced it. Some of the other companies have really embraced that side. I think Raging Heroes, they were an old school casting company that used to do sort of third party stuff for G-Dub equivalents, like models you could use instead of. And they've really lent into the Patreon side of doing things and the producing every month some new content, new files, things to use as, things to go with. Like, I think moving forwards with that, that was great. I think Victoria Miniatures do as well. I think they do a... Is it Victoria? One of them? I can't remember. So I think having them being able to produce, because all the will in the world, if you're trying to produce and only sell physical, you're as limited as your production capability. But if you're able to then, well, my sculptor's always busy because they're always making every month. We've got new releases. Like the output of some of these sculptors puts G-Dub's release schedule to shame. Yeah. Like, I mean, G-Dub are throwing stuff at us all the time. God, some of these Patreons are throwing 50 models a month at you.
Mental.
For a tenner. You know what I mean? £10 Patreon. Here you go. 50 models. 50 unique models, including a giant dragon, half a bar room, a serving wench, whatever it be. And there's different ones for all different flavors of gaming. It's nice that the you've got to get your servant wenches, yeah. But it's nice that there's that output for them. It's nice that.
Yeah.
But also, more importantly, I think also what is really interesting in seeing a rise of this is the demand, right? Mm. Because again, I think the reason why so many of these like third party companies are becoming so prevalent now, and you can write a list as long as your arm who they are, right? I think obviously COVID massively perpetuated that, right? Where all of a sudden we all realized that we were working like dogs for fucking nothing. And we now need to reprioritize self-care. And some of that does involve your hobbies fundamentally. Definitely. And it made us all readdress that and go, actually, hobbies are great. And also the millennial generation getting a bit older and a bit more nostalgic as well. I think it's helped loads.
You also reach that point, though, whether you've got kids and the kids are starting getting involved in it themselves, or the kids are getting older and now they're not in the way anymore, or vice versa, whichever bit of that schedule you're in, rather than being 20-somethings running around drinking and partying, you're like, oh, I'm at home with the kids. I guess we'll get the Warhammer out.
Yeah.
As it should be. That's parenting done right.
Get them in the painting mines. Get an airbrush in hand. Teach them how to do OSL on the whole army in 10 minutes.
There you go.
I recruit my children for building. I hate building plastic kits, so my kids do it.
Very nice.
I mean, Seb's like 16, so he's fine. Yeah. But like, tenor, mate. Build me all those boxes.
He probably does a better job than Rust. Rust doesn't even remove his mold lines.
Fuck off. Suck my dick. Like, you can...
Sam doesn't do his mold lines either, and I'm going to have him about that while we're online.
Can you have
on
Russ
air?
About it as well? Because it doesn't mind
no one notices. No
I've
one notices.
Noticed, so that's not true.
When they're not there painted, you... Oh, you little shit. I was going to like... Oh, you... Okay then, Ed. What are some of your favourite like third party companies?
I think what James was saying about like Rise are just loads of little independent ones that do random bits and bobs. That is very cool because you'll find random ones that just sort of cater to a very specific niche.
To whatever you want.
Yeah, for like a really random army or sub faction of Space Marines or some very specific thing, like whether it's Death Watch shoulder pads or you know something like that. You know.
I mean, the guard, one of the prime Watsits was Guard. Mm. Like back in the day, I remember my mate trying to do a feudal guard.
Yeah, there you Watsit, go.
And he was buying the musket pack of Cities of Sigmar before they were Cities of Sigmar, those kind of guards. Flintlock rifles and putting them on all his guardsmen. And it was like, oh my God, you're buying three kits to build every single model
so
for an
expensive.
Army that's fucking 4 points a model. It was like, oh my God, you're going to, Whereas now, I bet if you went online and looked for guardsmen rifle, you'd be like, oh, look, there's some really nice flintlock rifles. How much are they? Oh, 40 of them for 15 quid.
So
cool.
So those things are super cool. Yeah. I do think things like what you do with obviously the bases is really nice. Because if you can just like one of the things I find really frustrating with armies is basing, because it's one of those things that is an additional step that people they overlook a lot of the time when they're coming up with a scheme. And we've talked about this before on the podcast where it's like
bases.
Yeah, you do need to really think about your bases. Because they are a massively important part of your scheme, and they do really impact how the army looks when they're done.
Really ties a scheme together
it
as well. You can
does.
Really, really make or break it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I paint on plastic bases and then paint my bases and then put them on.
Yep.
And when you're doing that, you'll be like, these look shit. They don't look finished. Yep. And you snip them off and stick them on finished bases. And you're like, oh, there we go. Yeah, they're finished.
Exactly. So yeah. I think things like that, again, awesome.
Yeah.
You know, having nameplates all over your bases is a bit wanky, but you know, that's just... Yeah, but...
No, this is a meme on the channel because I do it with all of my characters and stuff.
All of your characters or every single model in your army, Russ?
Fuck off!
Only custodies. Custodies. Really long names that go all the way around.
That's
the
what
back.
Russ has got, but like every single fucking model, like his scouts
Shut
have
up,
all got like.
You foul bitch! Full Matt Berry, you fucker!
But anyway, so get another out. One of the ones that I really like is, as we mentioned earlier, RTLW. I've got a couple of things from them. I really liked. It really annoyed me because you know the Inquisitorial agents used to have like that Cherubiel guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got that model.
The demon host.
Yes, the demon host. Yeah. That is such a cool model. Things like that. Yeah. Just I love shit like that. They're just really cool, unique sculpts. I'm just going to build him and use him as just an Inquisitorial agent. Because fuck you, Games Workshop, for removing him. Because they don't have...
Is he not in the new book?
No. No, he doesn't exist anymore. But I'm just still going to have him as an Inquisitorial agent.
You have to excuse my lack of slightly current 10th edition stuff. Because
I know
I'm
you're
just,
about
I'm not playing it.
Yeah, it's your age. Don't worry about it.
I am, I hate change. Leave it a fucking alone. If you leave it alone, I'll play it.
I want my guns to jam. Like in, I want my vortex grenades. Give me my vortex grenades.
In all honesty,
weapon.
I enjoyed 8th. I enjoyed 9th.
I'll get James over for a game in the barn and he'll be trying to do direct armor and scatter fucking dice, and I'll be like, no, James, that's not how it works anymore.
I hear you film a lot of penetration in
I
the
do.
Battle bar.
Yeah, that's what After Dark
After
only
dark.
Fans.
Oh, look at that synchronicity.
Yeah.
There you go, Steve. There you go.
Go and visit their OnlyFans.
Yeah, please do.
That's all the Patreon see, right?
Yeah,
it's all
exactly.
good. Some of my favorite companies, quick.
Go on.
Yep.
Mezgeik miniatures.
Oh, yes. You talked about
the dredge. The dredge for the Death Guard. The Bioshock dredge Death Guard.
They are cool.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
Love those. We have a lot of love for Mezgeik. I will double up on the RTL purely for the fact that that new Lorgar. Oh my fucking God. I dropped my yogurt so hard when I saw that Lorgar. I was like, I want 10 of them.
Did he almost become Slaanesh Lorgar?
Well, he made a noise.
But he also has the 4 Chaos God like things on it, right?
Which is cool. He's nice.
He made a noise that was... I thought he was actually saying the name of the company because he went, tell W miniatures are so great.
And his eyes crossed a bit. Yeah.
The Chaos Gods! But also, like, weirdly, the rise of, like, you know, a lot of extra hobby, like, elements. Like, obviously, orange brushes for the UK. Absolutely love those. The Colour Forge sprays, of course.
Yeah, Colour Forge are amazing. Two Thin Coats.
I have to say, those...
Two Thin Coats as well.
Those
Colour
Forge cans have got such cool design on them as well. Man. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen that. They just look really cool, don't they? Whoever designed those cans did an incredible job.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. And of course, I love P3 paints and my new favourite P3.
Oh, you like the P3 stuff, yeah?
I love the P3 stuff myself. I think they're the shit. They're the shit. But yeah, like, you know, like, it's spoiled for choice. What are your favourites apart from your own company, obviously, James? Like, what else do you like?
Many. So I think Maker's Cult. Maker's Cult for files and stuff, just phenomenal. And they've been going forever and ever. I've been on their Patreon forever and ever and ever. Whenever we get something new that isn't in their range, they just bring it out. They just keep, like, I mean, my militia are based on their Valor Corp. Their Valor Corp are based on the old Krieg. And so, I mean, Krieg aren't technically heresy, but dudes with gas masks and trench coats are totally walking around in heresy. But we got all the new, with the new release of the Guard stuff, we got like the 100 mil base gun platforms, those ones. So they did all the stuff that matches in with that in all the different ranges, all the different flavors. Like, oh, they're so, and I mean, that the Valor Corp's such a tiny part of what they put out. Their content is immense. They've got a thing called Iron Hive, which is robotic tyrannids.
I've seen them on stream. They are
cool. So beautiful.
They were on,
and again, such perfect sculpts. And you look at it and you go, oh my God, it is a Lictor.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a robot Lictor. Oh my God, it's a robot, whatever it is. Rupture cannon thing.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. That nailed it.
Yeah.
And so many other things. And then, so there, I think they're three guys who are the main core of it. And then they have like guest sculptors coming in and doing a special release every month for the thing. So that's really nice. You just get, you find new people who haven't perhaps got as massive a following. And so that's sort of just real community driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's helping awesome. Everybody out. And I mean, they're making good money. Like they're making nice money. Three dudes sculpting stuff, having fun. And yeah,
it's awesome grassroots stuff, and it's great for the community. It's nice to see these sort of things on the table, you know, and especially like in the US, it's quite big, it seems, because they don't give a shit about 3D printing in the US. They love it. In fact, it seems encouraged, and especially in Australia.
Australia's huge.
Yeah, because obviously they can't afford to buy Games Workshop in Australia because of the bloody price of it. It's like twice as expensive.
I think it's more than that. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
Twice as expensive.
Three or four times expensive.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, back in when I was first started, I'd got a couple of mates who lived out in New Zealand, and they used to buy my shit and tell me to send them out Warhammer with it.
Yeah. Send like, it by dolphin.
It's like literally just buy a load of my stuff.
Dolphin.
Your Warhammer, sir.
Yeah, now. Literally just buying my stuff, and like, because it was just such a huge markup difference, they'd be buying, I want this, mm-hmm. get that ordered off Warhammer, lob that in my box and send it to my mates. Yeah. It was like, can't afford to actually do it otherwise. It wasn't like an open service, it was just for a couple of friends, but they were saying like, it just saved them much.
Speaking of things that Australians would never be able to afford in terms of this, like Forge World. As our final topic, lads. Look at that.
You've been doing some creamy blends today.
I know. It's creamy as fuck. I have to get it on track.
You've been really trying to force them in a bit, but they've been good.
It's because if I don't try and direct this conversation, we'd still be on our first subject.
Yeah, we would. You're doing well.
I need to be judge, Judy, and executioner.
I'm not judge, Judy, and executioner.
Judge, Judy,
and executioner.
Heartfelt reference.
Yeah,
that's good. Excellent.
So, what are our favourite, just to finish off today, what are our favourite non-Australian Forge World sculpts?
Oh, man.
There's so many.
I think, it's a market that's almost not had a massive amount of stuff of late.
Well, because it's kind of being phased trying to wind out, it down. Really.
Yeah. I mean, the Necromunda, all the Necromunda characters are pretty. They're lovely models. I like the Necromunda stuff. A lot of Trish's old sculpts, they were phenomenal.
Monster Girl Trish, she's a legend.
Yeah, so some sick stuff from her. The Tyranid stuff, I think the Dimocharian, the no longer Titan Titans, the little Titans, they were nice. They were like fat Carnifexes.
Yeah.
I was hooked on those for a bit. Back in the day, we used to go to Warhammer World, all the time. It's 20 minute drive from my house, so we'd just go and drink in the pub and eat some shitty food and buy Warhammer, and I think I've got about 12 of them because they were literally like 30-40 quid when they first came out. They were so cheap, and I mean, you've got to think at that point Land Raiders were like 20-30 quid, so you are a different world of how cheap things were.
No, I remember Land Raiders being 25.
My first Land Raider was one of the old ones, and I paid $8.99 for it.
I feel like that's
new from G-Dub. Yeah,
that has a real like kids book vibe. My first Land Raider.
crazy my first Land Raider, and I saved up for like 3 months to get that or something. It was like, I've got 25p pocket money, I could buy some chewing gum, or I could stick it in a box and wait. But the original old one with the little tiny, and then the big tracks around
the
outside
of
it.
The ones that look like the new Horus Heresy Land Raiders, right?
Yeah. Were the next ones.
It was
the fucked up before version of that.
Sure.
Like the pre-Proteus. Yeah.
Wow, pre-Proteus.
Yeah. Pre-Proteus. Yeah, they did. Yeah, but they were cool. Mm. But Forge World, definitely some of the Nid stuff. Cool. The dragon, they did all the...
I remember the fucking massive dragons and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's the massive... the massive, massive dragon is on my desk at the moment, the corn one, because I managed to pick one up secondhand off a guy a couple of years ago, and I was like, I'm going to paint that, and it's like, fuck am I, it's massive, it's huge. It actually... Do you want to see the difference between that one and that printed one?
Go on, then.
It is... I'll find you a wing, and you can laugh your arse off it. Mate, it's so big.
We're getting dragon feeds on in the
tank. The live dragon. So that was the printed guy.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's all right. That's the body
Oh my God.
Off of the corn dragon. And that,
oh, wow.
He's got a leg missing because he's in processes of being filled and gapped. And he had a dude who sits on his back, and then the wings, I might have an intact
wing. For those of you listening along, it's about four times the size.
Resin dragon.
The wings, they're in two bits, so they're going to be... Oh, mate, it's just ridiculous.
It's
That one goes on...
That's one wing.
That's one wing. Jesus. Which is literally the size of my fucking face on the side of a dragon that's already the size of my torso.
Yeah, that's
it's
hefty.
Immense. And it weighs a ton.
Please don't sit on your D&D
you
dragon.
You could kill a burglar with that. You could like smack someone around the face.
Oh, mate, if you threw it.
It
at someone and got a spiky bit, it'd definitely come out the other side.
Yeah.
So that one's great. And then all the little dragons. I used to really like, they did like the golden dragon. And the underwatery elf dragon one. What's that called? Can't remember.
Wow, yeah. It's got a stupid name.
But before my time, thanks.
Hey, dude, yeah. It's all good. Yeah, but, yeah, man, before... when you cause fetuses, it's all good. Like,
you've really taken
season.
That personally.
Yes.
It's because I remind myself of how old I look every day. But there we go.
You're fine, Russ. Chill your beans.
You're fine.
What about you, Ed? What are your favourite?
Don't watch yours, yeah.
I really like the Seraptek heavy construct for the Necrons just because of how ridiculously monstrous it is. And they've stayed really on theme with it, which I love. So that's a really cool one. I also really like the Word Bearer's like mutated sort of dreadnought that they have.
The Margul dreadnought. Yeah,
that's cool.
Very nice textures. Mm. Very nice, what's it? Really shitty Gumby pose.
Yeah. It is a bit.
It's a very... and because of the way it was sculpted, it's incredibly static. You can't repose it.
Yeah.
If they'd have made that with posable knees and stuff, that would have been really cool. Yeah,
definitely.
But it is a pretty dreadnought,
Yeah.
They are good.
I'm not a massive Forge World man because I've... actually, one other thing. I do like the Moiraxes, the old Lightning Locks.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not a Forge World man, to be honest with you, because I'm not big on resin and previously metal models, just generally speaking. I don't really like working with it, because I found that paint just looks different on certain older fine cast resin specifically.
I respectfully disagree with that. I weirdly find it.
I find paint on fine cast resin on like good resin, it looks fine, but on old resin, it looks crap. I find, but like I'm talking fine cast. But I think you know, that's just me. I just don't really buy resin because of it. And also, I've just never had the need for massive fucking great big models, to be honest with you.
They do some really nice small models as well.
But they're mostly Horus Heresy, a lot of it.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
And also, like, things. So some of my favorite very quickly.
Go on.
Argutal. Argutal from the Heresy.
Definitely.
And a present from you, Ed. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Lionel Johnson, because he's the reason why I came back to the hobby, was the lion sculpt, because I absolutely love that.
First true traitor.
Fuck you!
Told you, I only do traitors. That's why I've got a Dark Angel on.
Hey.
I'm sorry, you must be old, because that came all the way back from 1996. Nice one, mate. Thank you. I love the Yetis from Blood Bowl.
They're cool.
The classic Squiggoth.
Oh yeah, you've got to like the Squiggoth.
The normal one or the big one?
Either.
Both.
Either,
of it. Fantastic. Put them together and give them a baby.
But my absolute favourite, which is still one of my golden fleeces that I will get when I sell a kidney or my body.
Oh, I know what
either
it is.
Or, you know what this is,
Manta.
Right? No, this is my ultimate thing. This is my ultimate thing, mate. The big old Chungus tank known as the Mastodon.
I've got Mastodon, that's fine. I've got three of them.
Oh, fuck you! How dare you? I just want one, you greedy bastard.
They're fun in Heresy as well. Do you know what they're really fun to do? They're really fun to fill with Galvor back and drive them across the table.
I just want to put like 30 Deathwing Terminators in there and just storm them through. Like, it'd be amazing.
What I like to do is blow them up in your deployment zone on turn one. That's always funny. Kaboom! Out you go. Everybody stuck. You put your really slow ass Terminators in it, and now they're in your deployment zone on fire.
How easy were they to build? Because I really want to get one.
I had one that was absolutely perfect to build. It was phenomenal. It was a joy. It was a dream. I had one that I could have hit with a hammer. I hated it. It was so... And all genuine Forge World ones. And I had... The last one I built was all right. That was fine. It was... The one in the middle was awful. And it was... It's probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And it was when... Forge World was like, everyone was saying, don't buy Forge World, it comes bent and nothing fits. And it's oh, guess what? It did. Right. It was awful, yeah. They were having a bit of an off week.
Was the good one that you bought recent or before that?
The original one was like not long after they came out, so that's forever ago. That is like not quite 20 years ago, like 2011, something like that.
And was that the good one?
Most
or the
recent
bad
one was in the last 2 years and it was good. It was all right. They're just a lot of money now.
Yeah, 400s or something.
Yeah. So the nice thing for me is because I do bits of commission here and there, somebody says they want Mastodon. It doesn't bother me how much it costs. You're paying for it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's true. But yeah, I just love them. They just look so cool. They are
a nice, interest. So I think on the other side of the same coin there, one of the things was building the Exterminatus laser for the Mechanicum for 30K.
Well, that's cool.
That thing is stupid big. It is 24 inches long and cannot be set up in the deploy. It has a directional weapon that's center line mounted and it can't face the enemy when it starts the game because it's too long to fit in a deployment zone.
That's quite funny.
Funny. That thing's huge. I mean, I don't know if you've seen them. They are ridiculous.
Are the Lord of the Rings Olifants Forge World?
No, they're plastic.
They're plastic. Mumax,
plastic.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
They're cool models.
Olifant,
yeah.
Although they do Lord of the Rings Forge World minis. For
some of it's resin,
isn't
it? Yeah.
It just seems to be what they do for like the specialized games, right? Like Necromunda and stuff like that.
See, I think the little guys for Necromunda and things, Blood Bowl, definitely that's the way to do it because it doesn't have... I'd like to say it doesn't have enough of a following for it to justify, but like surely making 72 Space Marine Lieutenants as special edition single models wasn't worth it either.
Space you know Marine what I mean?
They just released a new one today, announced a new one with
did.
The Space Marine.
Yeah, of course
Marine
they did. What else were they going to release? And I guarantee you it wasn't one that anybody fucking wants. It's not what anyone's asked for.
There you go, see.
Some of the problem with Forge World was the original whole premise behind it was it wasn't meant to be here's your amazing one-off massive centerpieces. It was meant to be the bits that we don't sell enough of to justify having a full range. It was meant to be short run. And I mean, some of the early short run stuff did stay very short run and disappeared quite quickly. And then they kind of just kept bringing it back and kept bringing it back. And I think as a production thing, it's quite time consuming compared to just making shit in plastic.
Yeah,
I agree.
If they've got that production level.
But bring on like Mordheim, and it's nice to see some of the old world stuff be brought back in Forge World Resonance.
Mordheim.
Exactly. But I know that all the Beastmen beasts are coming back as proper resin, so like the Doom Bull and like the Cockatrice.
Jabberslythe.
Is that how you pronounce this? Jabberslythe.
Jabberslythe.
I've always wondered that.
Great model.
It's great, but that's coming back in Forge World Resin this time. So
it's fine. Good. I've got a couple of them already. I'm good.
Fair play. I want to collect all of those monsters.
I've every single one of the stupid monsters. The only thing I haven't got is a Chaos Dragon. I want a Chaos Dragon. And the problem is the real Chaos Dragon's a bit of a shitty model. It doesn't actually even match with the Beastmen, does it? It's too early for that.
You could just make your own one, James.
There is some nice ones out there. I have been looking at the options. I'm only dabbling on Old World a little bit at the moment because I'm struggling to have anyone to play it with enough to play it enough.
Yeah.
But given it's the only thing I'm missing from the Beastmen army, I'm going to have to get a Chaos Dragon.
There you go.
Oh, and a Chaos Giant.
You'd be rude not to.
I need a Chaos Giant. That's something.
I've got the double-headed guy.
What's he called? He's got a name.
I can't remember. I thought it was a double-headed dragon called...
There is a two-headed dragon.
And he had a B at the beginning of there. I can't remember. Too long ago.
The book is next to my knee, but I'm not going to bend down and pick it up.
There we go.
In fact, my two-headed giant is there. I can see him.
He's just got
he's got everything.
Mate, massive, like resin mini.
So this up here is my shelf of pain.
Me. Wow.
Oh, fuck
that,
me.
That's not even... That's just stuff that lives on my shelf, and up there is one of every Primarch bought on the day they on the week they released, basically at Forge World. So there's a shelf of Primarchs. Top shelf is things like there's the new, what's the massive deal, Cabanda and Samus.
Cabanda!
Cabanda and Samus are up there.
Good memes.
Yeah.
There you go. So just pay for the
Jesus doesn't get that
memes.
Reference at all. No, sorry. We had a stupid reference to Cabanda.
Do I do that?
Yeah. Don't worry.
No, fair enough. That's a cool... Do you know what? That's a Ford wheel model that's pretty fucking cool, actually.
Yeah, he's
Cabanda.
Cool, yeah.
He is good. Samus is quite a nice one, although very dated now, yeah. I think. He's he suited first edition Heresy better than second edition Heresy.
There you go, see.
He's not quite dark enough for the new one, I don't think.
Well, we should ask our precious listeners what their favourites are. Drop it in the comments, please, because we would love to know. And thank you very much, James, for appearing on In the Tank.
No worries, thank you for having me. Yeah.
That's the quickest like hour and a half ever, right? That shit went by
it
well.
Just smashed it.
But obviously, check out March of Wars, awesome stuff. I bought their stuff over the years, and I had no idea. But obviously, that was what...
No, I'm here.
So
it's all good.
Please do.
But, nice, cheers, dude.
Support, thank you so much for coming on, mate. That was wicked to
see. Yeah, cheers, man. Yeah. No, it's
Did you have fun?
Good to be here. Nice, yeah. Good to have a natter.
Yeah, good.
Little
I haven't... Yeah. It's what it feels. It always feels a bit weird at the beginning, doesn't it? And then it's like, oh, now he won't fucking shut up. Let's get rid of it. It's like, we've started him on a subject. Shit.
No.
I was just trying to direct us.
You
like,
did a very good job, to be honest with
you.
It's hard.
You need those, paddles you move, move them around.
Still easier than Quipster, bless him. Yeah. Like, that was the hardest. Like, Quipster was the hardest by
but
far.
It was our first guest as well.
Off tangenting?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Bless him. Like it was tough. It was a tough one.
Yeah,
he's
it was.
A great guy. Cut off again! Calm
like,
down! Right. wow, I need to get the horn, Ed. I do need to get the horn.
You do.
Thank you very much, my beautiful co-host, Ed.
Thank you very much, my beautiful co-host,
Ross. Sexy man.
Yeah.
And I'll be looking forward to doing the stream with you, what would be this Saturday now.
Yes,
right?
It will
when
be.
When this comes out. So tune in, 7:30 on Saturday night.
If you guys
night,
aren't subscribed, we are battle_barn on YouTube. And I think we'll also be live on Twitch, hopefully, if everything goes well. So, yeah.
Ooh. Nice.
Ooh. Find us everywhere.
Oh.
Cool. All nice. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Ciao, everybody.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, James.
Bye.
Cheers, dude. Thanks, guys.